Good afternoon, Winter Park, and welcome to another edition of Punkonomics with Dr. Benjamin Balick, broadcasting live from WPRK, Winter Park, Florida, the best in basement radio.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
All right. Yeah. What? Are we on?
Yes, we are.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I never put the headphones on. I see what people do, but I don't know. Somehow it confuses me. I'll trust you all. So it's going to be kind of a short shout-out, kind of version of Punkonomics. We've had, you know, we're following the Rollins College games, women and men's basketball generally on the Saturdays. And who knows what we're going to do. Maybe it's time. I know some people have told me they don't like the idea of us being on Saturday.
It's less convenient for them, even when we get our second hour back or whatever. In March, basically, the games are over. Beginning of March. And you know, we kind of, it's a family business, family and friends, right? With Francis Connection on our previous time slot. In fact, if anybody has any feelings about it, do fire us a message on, punkonomics.org, punkonomics on Facebook, Dear Balick Punkonomics on Twitter, Tumblr too, by the way. I think that's it. And tell us, I'd rather you do Wednesday. Oh, I'd rather you do Saturday. That'd be great, actually, if we get some kind of feedback like that. Could help us decide how best to do this. Having said that, we're gonna be extra short, but that might be a good thing. So I have an announcement to open. We've already had interviewing with us, guesting with us. We've talked with them on the phone, in the studio, and about them behind their back. My friend at Speak Up Florida. I've even, I think, solicited if anybody out there has some extra, cheddar to share with an excellent grassroots movement to change local movement primarily concerned with ending the new Jim Crow, in other words, the racism in the justice system and other causes. Because today you have to do movements of movements, right? Every small movement within an item on the agenda has to kind of respect other groups and join together forces to bring about real change. And we've even had an entire show dedicated to how real change comes from grassroots, from the weakest, the most desperate people in our society. That the lesson we are taught that no, it is the nobles, the blue bloods, the wealthy, the powerful, whatever applies, who generously bring progress, justice to it. It doesn't work like that historically, so we celebrate explicitly the grassroots. So, for example, having my board meeting with Speak Up Florida, a movement to end the new Jim Crow in Central Florida this morning, we found out that one of our board new members, Frank, is going to Eatonville to protest in front of the dollar store today. So we want to shout out to them. If you happen to be driving around there, hell, you know, honk, stop, say hello, say hi from Benny. What they're trying to protest is to stop or ask to stop a petty crime, arrests and harassment by the police, you know, for a small quantity of marijuana, for, you know, whatever, disorderly drunk. If you're poor, you get into serious trouble for these trivial things. Why not have what's called civic citations? Okay, if it's the law, it's the law. Hopefully it'll be, some of these laws will change, but even if it is the law right now, do you really want to arrest that person? It costs the taxpayer a tremendous amount of money. It destroys a life. It destroys perhaps his family's life. It's really
future job opportunities.
Yeah,
it makes money for somebody.
He's
gotta give a job to somebody too, eh?
Not even many people, you know. It's really bad for almost every but the most cynical, I don't know, investors in the most vile of the for-profit private prison industry. Yeah. Everybody else doesn't really benefit. It doesn't make any sense from any perspective, frankly, other than, I mean, really, no, I can't even think of a perspective, that's not psychopathic, really, that could argue this is a good idea. Really, yeah. The cops don't like it even, you know what I mean? The cops actually, cops don't have a very good reputation in a recent couple of years, and they deserve it.
To be proud about it, if you think about, like, living in a society where we jail a bunch of people, right?
For trifle behaviors, and behaviors that if you are a little bit wealthy or semi, not even very, you know, you can get out of.
Yeah.
So there's another source. I mean, where do you start? But I just wanted to throw it out there. I know we don't have a lot of time, and to remind people how, you know, grassroots movements is where change comes from. Historically, invariably, those groups might have allies among the more powerful elites, might eventually turn into a political party, but generally, that's where it starts. The conscience of the nation, if you will, are the poor, the suffering. So, you know, when I see, let's say, the civil rights movement in the 60s, I don't necessarily see it as here are, you know, African Americans under, you know, with all the history and the ongoing and continuing pressure and inequality. For now, let's talk about the time, though we do and we will continue to talk about the inequalities and lack of opportunity in the present.
Yeah.
But if you look at that era, the 60s and all that, it's not that they fight for their rights and eventually manage to squeeze them away from us. I also view it as American blacks and their allies, you know, saving America, being the conscience of the nation, dragging us screaming and you know, away from a path, a dark, horrible path.
Hmm.
You see what I mean? I mean, being really our saviors. So the poorest, the most discriminating against, the weakest in our society, save our souls. As a secular guy, I know it's kind of funny to say, but I mean, you know, it's a metaphorical language. You don't have to be religious to follow what I mean by it. Right?
It's certainly something to be proud about as a country, yeah. You know, like the fact that you had this incredibly obscure past that to some extent you're still fighting to get out of, mm-hmm. right? And it's quite a struggle, you know, like if you think about the sentiments against like Syrian refugees in Europe, for example, those tell you like, gee, this is, racism in particular is such a deep-rooted problem, right? Yep. Like, everybody comments about how gorgeous the Swedish or Danish economies are, right? But just putting some Syrian refugees in there and you'll see how the Danish react, right? And how tricky that the problem of having those historically mm-hmm. embedded sentiments in there is. It's a big problem, right?
Oh, yeah. Right. And, you know, and it's, again, we must understand. That's one thing that actually I find interestingly difficult sometimes to teach.
What?
How you must understand even if you don't agree. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no real good reason not to understand something. Even, let's be all totally cynical. You want to undermine, you know, the civil rights movement because you're a nasty racist? Hmm. Even then, you should learn about critical race theory so you understand where they're coming from. Even if it is, and understand my cynical humor here, isn't it, right?
Nobody has gotten saved by being ignorant about a particular issue.
Ignorance
right?
is never a good idea, whatever your goals are.
Whatever you want to do, no matter what.
It's like no sex ed. It's a classic one. Yeah. If they don't know anything about sex education, then they won't have sex. Are you on drugs?
Abstinence?
I mean, are you an idiot?
99.9% of the time.
The highest teen pregnancy rate in the United States for many years is among young, teen, right, obviously. Among teens who are precisely committed to celibacy, some of them having that ring thing or whatever.
Bracelet or something
like
that.
If you are doing celibacy as means of birth control or avoidance of sexual activity, and I respect if you want to be a virgin, you know, I'm not judging that at all. Not a problem.
That's fine,
at all. Fine. Maybe a good thing from a public health perspective.
Body. Do whatever the hell.
Yes, exactly. But the idea that people don't know how things are will actually make them make smarter choices. I mean, it sounds ludicrous when I spell it out, but if you look around and you'll find that actually when it's not spelled out often, it's actually assumed, and it is ludicrous.
I don't know. Speaking of people advocating abstinence as perfect methods of anti-conception and stuff like that, what did you think about the crazy campaign deal with Trump?
Oh, yeah. I did post a video.
It's really
everybody's been making mashups. I mean, you know what it reminds me though, politically
speaking. What does it remind you of?
It reminds me of the Sarah Palin moment last time. Oh, not last time, a couple of times, right? Exactly two. where all the so-called, whatever it means anymore, liberals kind of got their panties in a bunch and jumped to point out how ignorant she was and maybe not exactly the sharpest, what's the expression? The sharpest tool in the shed. Thank you, Jay Gordon just stepped in.
Yeah.
Poor thing for like 20, got all the way out from the far north, for like, well, maybe 40 minutes. So we must make it count. Yeah, and you know how everybody was making fun of her, right? And of course, that was the whole point. I mean, that was the brilliance of it. That would made her popularity. The same thing's going on with Trump. So the weirder, the most vile he is, he's smarter than his critics. Oh, we have that one's not working.
Yeah, the
sharing mic. It's okay.
The Republican Party actually tried to undermine her. Karl Rove actually,
we're picking him up.
Point after the,
Jay is a soft spoken person.
Yep.
You have to yell like me.
Karl Rove actually admitted after the election at one point that he was trying to, undermine her because she was too stupid.
I know the levels.
Yeah, we're coming out.
Yeah.
You have to be, you have to be a Zen master, a Jedi master.
Yeah.
That'd be Jesse here, you know. So you don't look at you just feel, right?
Yeah,
trust the truth. You trust the force. Trust the force. It's like you're gonna swipe keyboard on your phone. Sorry.
Yeah, I think Rose's expression was that Bush was stupid but obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Palin was stupid and disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to go. They had to throw the election, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, I trust, you know, Karl Rove is an admirable individual, in a way. You know, he's a great, you know, I teach and I'm interested in propaganda, as you know, so I have much respect to him. Like, I have respect for Joseph G too, you know, then once again, you know, I understand. I read, you know, hey, I'm third generation Holocaust, right? Nazis gassed my family and all that. I could get all emotion about it. But that actually prodded me to study the mindset. How could the most civilized, and I mean it very seriously, you know, the most open, the most progressive society the world has ever seen, the Weimar Republic and just before the Nazis, could have so quickly devolved into, well, what we know. So you have to learn that. You have to, how did they do it? How did the decent people, you know, how did you got them to get in touch with those already pre-existing biases and hatreds and allow them to flourish? Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
You know, and I definitely need to bring this question up because I had a long, extensive conversation with a friend about whether the Germans knew what was going on or not. Now,
it's a very interesting question.
Personally, you know, I go with they did. It's just that it's too horrific to accept, you know, and to move on. What bothers me is that society, including our society, have presented this image that a whole country has been brainwashed to not only do what they did, but also say that they didn't know. And now there's been research that show that the German people knew what was going on. Not all of them, because there was quite a few of them that were brainwashed, but a lot of people knew. The ones that were actually escaping, that were able to give that information forward.
Mm-hmm.
There were German people who, like the Cubans, for many years listened to Radio Free America.
Mm-hmm.
They must have known because that information was coming on the radio.
There was a resistance, by the way.
And there was a resistance.
German resistance. Even officers, you know, high-ranking, powerful German officers tried to kill Hitler several times.
So I mean,
not enough.
For people to still today say that they didn't know, I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. And actually, it's not even research that I read recently when I was with the airlines and I was stationed out of Frankfurt. I talked to a lot of people. Germans, not Jewish Germans, but real Germans, my age and a little bit older. And when you have a few drinks, people open up and it comes out.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. It's a great reversal of propaganda to try to change what Hitler did and Goebbels with his propaganda and all that. I mean, doing all these films, showing what happened, all this kind of stuff. But let's be real. Let's accept what happened and we can move on a lot better. Because right now, with the economy, the way it's going, people are starting to have that same train of thought.
Yes.
You know?
And at the same time, it seems like the propaganda is working. I mean, like, if you look at the numbers, like, Real Clear Politics has, like, super decent graphs of all the polls that are, like, actually putting Trump up above.
Part of it, you know, because I got to say what Jesse says is really important, because that's the case. I mean, you wonder, I mean, is there really either knowing or totally not knowing? Not really, right? There is that kind of, you should know if you really stopped and allowed your brain to kind of take in the evidence and think about it. But you're
like willful ignorance.
You don't want, exactly, you don't want to know. It's a horrible thing to know. I mean, but hey, everybody's in the same boat. Anybody who's ever had power before, as nations, institutions, religions, or even individuals potentially, we probably all, if we had one day a little power, some of us maybe abused it too, individually also, right? So yeah, do we know today what we define it as America, define it as the West, define it as you like, are doing? I mean, clearly we don't. I know I always feel like I have to very gently deliver this information to my students, so it's not precise. To create a really difficult moment.
Right.
And we don't, we're not trained or, I don't know, conditioned to be critical. You know, in academia, we bandy about the term of critical thinking. That's what it's about. You know, I live in America. I'm recently a citizen, right?
Congratulations.
And I criticize America even more than others because I care. You know?
Right.
What's the point in criticizing North Korea? Everybody
Everybody criticizes
them. Boring, exactly, right? But what about what we're doing? So, and most of it is in ignorance too. 10 million people have been murdered in the Congo in the past decade. And they have been murdered in order to bolster multinational corporation providing rare earth metals for all of our devices, especially mobile devices, primarily in those radios, right? Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, etc. Cell. Yeah? So we all have the little holocaust in our phones. So do I. I'm waving it around the radio. So do I. But there is no clean device out there. I'd pay a significant amount of money that I can afford extra for my phone if I knew that I'm not involved in the rape and sexual mutilation of babies in the Congo, you know? Yeah, people. I mean, I hate to do this to you on a Saturday, but it is the greatest. They beat us, my fellow Jews. You know?
Yeah.
The Congolese have beaten us. They now hold the record of the most horrible Holocaust in human history.
And the deal is, if you would see stuff not happening, stuff like that not happening anymore, you would have perfect reasons to, like, not be angry about it and speak out about it, you know? Mm-hmm. But when you turn on the TV and you see it happening again and people acting
but
completely numb about it, right? And people acting apathetic about the hate speech in public television and completely.
Well, that's why we tell it it's about religion. And the Middle East is about religion. No, it's not. Africa is about tribal. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Always, like every war in the history of mankind, I'm like walking fast down that plank here, dangerous for a historian, but I'll do it.
Is it a resource war?
Always. There has never been a war on planet Earth for other reasons than, well, resources might be maybe a tiny bit restrictive, let's say, economic interests. A little bit broader. It might not be. It might be access, for example. Like the war on Troy, right? It's about access to the Black Sea. Not about, but back then, probably, I mean, this is a myth written in 800 BC, so who exactly knows when the war, probably Troy, the ruins, right? If there's an archaeologist wants to correct me, fire us a call. Not much time today. Punkonomics.org, correct me if I'm wrong. But we don't, the Troy, we're talking about the sometime in the late second millennia, so 1000 BC, ish. Yeah, the war on Troy. In Troy, we've seen the movie, we read it, you know, Greek mythology, right? It was why? For the kidnapping of the world's most beautiful woman, Helen of Troy. Because back in this, like, barely Iron Age even, just barely, that was a proper reason to go to launch 1,000 ships. You know, you can't, back then it was impolite. It was kind of tacky and creepy to say, oh, we have to go to war here because these Trojans are charging us a fee to get into the Black Sea where all the wheat is. Yes. That's why we have to attack them. Not polite. So no, pretty woman. That works. These days, our excuses are different than pretty women. Actually, I would rather if it was like, you know, imagine if it had Cheney and that, you know. No, we have to invade Iraq for the prettiest woman in the world. That would be better,
During the Clinton years, the Monica thing.
Time. History will judge Clinton. Talk about Africa, right? Actually, when the spark was lit under Congo, it was the Clinton administration that was heavily involved, and very few people know about that. Yeah, Rwanda and Burundi. Oh, my God, if we had only intervened to save the 800,000 people that were massacred a little bit earlier. No, you started it, Mr. President, in a significant way. It's never simple, you know?
Right.
But let's say foreign policy actions in that region, because you were so blinded by your interest in getting to those rare metals in the Congo already, seemed to be an opportunity. A big collection of powerful warlords doing your bidding for you. Sounds pretty sweet. Things blew up, I'm sure, more than they expected. They didn't realize how much
uncontainable they were.
Uncontainable, right, the genie is going to be when they let it out. But the Clinton administration was very significantly in letting that genie out that killed 800,000 people in the Rwanda and Burundi area. And that continues to this day to be operating into the Congo. Some years worse than others, but the horror has not yet stopped, that's for sure. So it's an ugly world here. But yeah, so do they know? Well, we don't either. Not that, you know, I don't want to make that, I'm not making evil.
The way I look at I look at it from this perspective. We choose to ignore it. Whatever's more convenient at the time,
it's
whatever
hard,
gets
man.
What we want, that's what we put out there. Plain and simple.
Well, yeah. And we do it, and of course, but, I mean, I don't know, you know, I still think that if, you know, the media is very important in this sense, or the lack thereof, or the fact that we have such a absolute, shameful and pathetic excuse for, what the great American poet Immortal Technique calls, I think that, I know some people might not, yeah, whatever, I think he's a great, my favorite American poet is the independent, hip-hop artist, Immortal Technique, so there. But he calls it the fourth branch of government. It's a nice track, by the way, look it up. So we don't talk about it. We're not analyzing things. Instead, we bite into what we find ourselves able to bite in, making fun of Trump. And frankly, I still think every time we make a joke, he gets just more powerful.
Yeah.
I have no,
he's not
fun. No fear of Trump. The fear that I, have at least anyway is the, lesser evil argument.
Mm-hmm.
With the election of Obama, they've really lost their currency. I don't think Bernie Sanders is a lesser evil, nor do I think that Hillary is a lesser evil. And anybody who approaches me with that argument is really engaged in very irresponsible reasoning. I think we pointed out in conversations that Bernie Sanders wants, went on NPR a few weeks back and said that Saudi Arabia needs to get its hands more dirty in the Middle East, as if there wasn't enough.
I happen to agree with that.
Blood on it already.
I happen to agree with that because, you know, we have a budget here, and the reason our people are not going to school and the roads are not being fixed is because we're spending way too much money in other people's business.
But that's us too.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's not like, you know, oh, if the Arab countries took care of their problems, we wouldn't have to.
Right.
I mean, no, they're not taking care of their problems. They are dictatorships doing our dirty work for us.
Right.
And it's not working, people.
We can argue
the ethics of it, and we should. But we should all really agree. How is this working out for you, people? I don't think the American imperialism, let's not judge it. Maybe at some times it was actually necessary. Maybe it was a good thing. Hell, when they released my, ancestors from camp, though actually the Soviets released most of my ancestors, but they sent weapons to Stalin. America joined critically the World War. All that to say that maybe sometimes an American empire is a good thing, but it hasn't been for a while. Couldn't we agree on that? Is it not like really just a fact of what it's doing, like you're saying, to our budget, to our globe? We don't have influence anymore. We're not getting our way in the world.
Right.
I mean, we're killing civilians. Maybe it's necessary, you know, like when we bombed the Nazis back in the day, right? Maybe it's necessary, though we could argue, by the way. It's not working. We're losing. So we need to change tactic. At the very least, we should agree on that.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that, you know, Bernie Sanders wants the House of Saud to get their hands in the Middle East is really...
They'll need a snorkel nowadays.
a very scary thought, given what's happening in Syria with...
But given the history that we have on Wheeling and Dealing out there, you know, it's the Saudis today, it's the Iranians tomorrow.
Sure.
You know, I agree with Bernie 100%. If we're going to invest American lives and money, let's make it work. If not, pull out.
The Iranians. I would much prefer the Iranians.
To do, well, yeah, oh
yeah,
no.
Iranians.
And it's necessary. You're absolutely right. When it comes.
More scruples.
It's more than that. I mean, yeah, crazy to say, but yeah, I know it. We live in the post-postmodern, is it? How many posts does this world generate? I'm not quite sure. But yeah, I mean, from a geopolitical perspective, at the very least, a reasoned kind of middle-of-the-ground opinion. Let me channel a respectable person here for a second. Because I tend to agree with Jay about these things. It's my job to be like the very responsible moderator, yeah? Yeah, I mean, at the very least, if Saudi Arabia, we would force them to say, okay, guys, you are going to sit with Iran, the inevitably largest, most powerful central country in the region. If stability will not ever reach the Middle East without Iran at its center, get used to it. It's been true for what now? 3,000 years?
Yeah. Right.
They weren't called Iran back there. They were called Persia. You know? So, talk with them. Instead, we're allowing them, they're our buddies, they have been since the 30s, we're kind of allowing them in this case, though it's kind of inconvenient to go crazy we need Shaheen in here, you know, to give us the inside scoop. We should do a special show, you listen?
Well, actually, Shaheen will go and about that, Saudi Arabia should not have the complete, you know, say-so out there.
Right. Of course he does. if other than to find a modus vivendi, as they say in Vertical Science, right, a way of living, a way to live with Iran. Yeah, they're their enemy, this one enemy for a long time. Well, time to, unless they get the balance, we won't get any balance, you know.
Right.
And the whole low oil prices is, of course, a very...
Right.
It's not a good thing. I mean, it feels good when you fill your tank. Sure it does, but it's not certainly in the long run a good thing.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt soon.
All. And it's gonna be end too, of course. We're delaying the inevitable in some sense.
Right.
It's
but, a way to mask the peak oil.
It's very difficult for us, though. We're so conditioned to escape this kind of theater of the of the elections and stuff. So do you believe in Bani? Does he mean strategically he has to play this rather moderate game, you know, like say not condemn certain things that he probably would if he was just an elected official, because he wants to, so long as he stays on the democratic ship. I mean, there are certain taboos, but so what, right? I agree with maybe he gets elected, then what?
I guess my problem with Bernie is twofold. It's actually onefold, and it's just the propaganda that is presented, where people are like, well, you know, he's a socialist, well, he's progressive, and you look at his voting record, he voted for Bush's No Child Left Behind,
But who's pure, man?
He favors the NRA.
Sure.
I'd vote for Cynthia McKinney if she was running again. Sure I would, you know, but she's not going to get elected. She can barely get into the building.
He gave a green light for the war on Libya, which was, anybody could have seen that was a big disaster. I mean,
not anybody.
No, man, not fair.
Garman didn't.
No, seriously, it's not fair, man. It's not fair. You're not fair now. I mean, I remember at the time you were very, like, you had Democracy Now kind of fell for it completely, and that's kind of the mainstream progressive alternative media source. It's not easy to find out about it. It really isn't. It flies in the face of everything we understand, so it doesn't, even if we give all the info in front of people, there's nowhere for that information to sit. There's no place for it in our brain.
It's kind of like that deal of, I can tell you the truth, but it's up to you to believe it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was against it from
yeah,
the
but,
because yeah. I also knew, too, that, a lot of people didn't know this, but, you know, our friend Saudi Arabia was helping intervene to do that. And of course, if anybody was paying attention to the African press, what was happening was that the rebels were massacring native Africans and civilians.
And continuing to do so, by the way.
And they continue to do so. And people, you had people from Sanders, Democracy Now, Gilbert Archer, who's an expert in the region, giving the green light to the war, and I don't know, I just looked
experts,
at it and I
right?
was...
which military, which private procurement, overcharging us taxpayers, a company, wasn't there, actually, when there was the call here, is an important little factoid, I think. When Obama did the call for, pulling a Libya in Syria, and famously, that the high peak of the political life of Rand Paul, when he did his wonderful, by the way, I'm very disappointed with him today, I guess, but back then I was like, yeah, I'm behind you 100%, did his filibuster against it, and it didn't fly, so it was that among public opinion it worked. So anyway, when all that happened, and we had and we need to bring back Sandy to tell us all these horrible things about the Middle East, he's quite the investigative journalist about it. What's the factoid right in Syria? My adult brain, senior moment, woo. What the hell was I talking about? A factoid, they were going to invade Syria, kind of like Libya, and that was, oh my god, why am I, yeah, oh my god, yeah, I think it happened. I have a hole. It'll come back to me in a few minutes, probably. Oh yeah, and Grace, I'm turning 50 in April, huh? Turning 50 in April. No, I had a good story to tell, and then I got totally... Oh well,
senior moment, huh?
Senior moment.
They're coming faster and closer in between every day. Yeah, I've been annoying my students a little bit with it because, you know, I don't have an age complex or anything, but recently all of a sudden I feel like, you know, yes, the big leagues. It's not like, you know, when you're 30, it's like, cool, I'm mature, you know,
right.
But still young, right? When you're 40, you're mature, maybe not as young, but you don't even care anymore, so it's very liberating. 50 is the beginning of the end.
Oh, at 50, I have an excuse to be... I can be uppity and get away with it.
Really? That's okay?
Yeah.
Do the cops not shoot you after you're 30? Because they think you're just senile? Is that it? You're just mumbling obscenities?
They just beat you a little slower.
There's a cutoff date, you know?
Yeah.
If you make it to 50 as a black man, it's getting to be pretty remarkable. It is a respectable achievement.
Yeah.
Not just the police in this case. It's mostly health, of course.
Yes,
overwhelmingly a health. Health and poverty. Yeah? What's the average wealth of African-American family in, today? Is like zero or a thousand or two?
So, just to have a little bit more fun. What do you guys think about this whole cruise thing with not being born here?
Who the bleep kids?
I actually kind of wanted to bring that up because the interesting thing is that
it's a two standard.
It's not even that. I think the interesting thing is that birthright thing is actually going away. And it's been going away since 9/11.
Well,
when criminals when criminals have been turned into non-citizens, so you can look at...
It actually started earlier, believe it or not, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, I'm serious.
No, but wait, he's talking about the ability to actually kick people out if they're not sufficiently native.
Well, that actually stopped Arnold Schwarzenegger from considering a run for the president.
Right. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, it's a double standard. I mean, they gave Arnold a hard time, and he was a mediocre governor anyway. They gave Obama a hard time, and he was born in Hawaii.
Wait, Obama is a completely different thing. Let's say it that way.
No, it's the same thing.
No, no, it's a completely different thing. I tell you why. It's utterly ridiculous and fabricated. All this Obama is not American born is the same thing as Obama is a Muslim.
Right.
It's a little bit perhaps easier to sell because you might think, oh, that could be verified. Well, the Muslim thing is kind of really out there.
What I'm saying is.
Oh, wait. It is because those are talking discussing this issue. What they're really saying is pointing out the shocking fact that Obama is black.
But I don't know.
What I'm saying
is impolite.
What I'm saying is that, they went through that whole spiel with Obama, right? The Republican Party, and they have to be singled out for that.
Yeah.
And yet, anytime one of their cohorts come out with an issue like that, like Ted Cruz, now all of a sudden it's like, well, the lawmakers see it this way. Well, you know what? That's interpretation. That is not the law.
Well,
and you know, right be right. I'm not really going with Trump here because I know what he's doing. But there is an issue.
Need
to straighten it out before we even go into this election cycle. If it was good for the president, it's good for the Republican Party.
What I wanted to say is that I think the bigger issue with this birthright thing is also, too, how U.S. citizens who have been branded as criminals lose that birthright. So Lockies, right, Anwar and Abdul, who were droned to death, right? Or the idea that
and they were particularly innocent, fighting to help. I mean, they were
American citizens, and the idea that President Obama and Eric Holder can assassinate.
Mm-hmm.
And kill American citizens without due process. I mean, where is your, if you're branded a criminal or a terrorist, where is your birthright now? I mean, where is your habeas corpus? Where is the Constitution? Of course, they don't present it that way. Eric Holder goes to the University of Chicago Law School. And or not University of Chicago Law School, Northwestern, I'm sorry. Mm. Gives a nice speech.
Because the University of Chicago Law School is like, it's almost as bad as the University of Chicago Economics. maybe even worse, actually.
It's pretty bad. So,
I can get into that. In the 70s, they changed, that's where all the legal reforms necessary to start dismantling capitalism and turning it into a plantation again.
I don't want to get back to like that whole idea of the birthright, because I fear to some extent we're missing something here that is like that Obama got it like same as he's Muslim, right, or he's from Kenya, but you could smell the racism behind those statements
right
from far away.
Smell?
And my point, I think,
I have a bit of it in my mouth.
The Republican
still.
Party finally finds two candidates, right, who they claim represent Latin American interests in the United States, and I think that all Trump
and hold on,
is
hold on.
Trying
that
to
is
do,
done strategically. Of course, they have to because
they do not represent Latin American.
No, but alienating Latinos is a major problem.
Yeah, it's a really big issue.
By the contrary, they're way on the other side of our issues. I mean, they're completely.
I agree.
No idea what the issue is.
And they're awfully white, too, by the way. I stand by my opinion. They are, yes, he's Cuban. Maybe he was even born there, but look how white he is. He's okay.
Exactly.
No, I still think it is as ugly as that. That's it, really. That's it.
Absolutely.
What I wanted to say, too, about this notion of branding somebody as a criminal and removing their birthright, of course, this was extended under a Democratic administration, under the Obama administration, where American citizens were assassinated without due process. Eric Holder went to Northwestern and actually said, if any law student said that, they would get a D.
Could you tell me what was the situation? Because I'm not aware of that.
Eric Holder went to give a commencement speech at Northwestern. And
but who are the people being assassinated? That's what I want to know.
American citizens.
Where?
Obama, in the Middle East, like the Awakis.
And being assassinated by us?
Right, by drone. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Several
President Obama
intentionally assassinated by us with drones.
Yep, actually,
at a wedding, I believe. Right. No, they didn't target the kid. Yeah. The kid, they just by mistake killed in bombing a wedding, didn't they?
President Obama was really upset about the kid, but when Robert Gates was asked about that in the press, about the assassination of Abdul Awlaki, he said that the kid should have had a more responsible dad. You can look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's exactly what he said, that he should have had a more responsible father. And if he had a more responsible father, he wouldn't have been droned.
Well, that would have said that here.
Much of my insight about foreign policy comes from the fact that having lived all this already before in my youth, in the state of Israel, blaming, if they just didn't protest, we wouldn't have to shoot them.
Right, exactly.
Right, so the issue is here is that President Obama can assassinate American citizens. Eric Holder says, the Constitution guarantees due process, but it does not guarantee judicial process.
Yeah.
So what that means is that he says, look, we satisfy due process internally. So Obama and his trusted advisors and the baseball cards decides every Tuesday to compile a list of Americans who ought to be killed, who can't respond to their accusers, who can't respond to government accusations in a court of law.
Let me be the devil's advocate here, because you're directing the conversation one way, and we need to acknowledge the fact that if we have U.S. citizens who are going against the United States, so causing U.S. lives...
Yeah, due process.
If we're able to catch a terrorist, a U.S. naturally born terrorist, who's going to inflict more pain to the country,
I'm all for having the guy assassinated. After a trial.
Take the example of Anwar al-Awlaki, right? His father actually stated to the United States government that if you provide evidence, he actually requested evidence from the United States government and said, look, I will turn in my son provided you present me with the evidence. I will turn him over to a court of law. And the United States said no.
Yeah.
They said no.
Many people don't know, for example, Guantanamo, right? Nobody who has ever been in that, and it's a concentration camp. It's just a technical term. Right. People get used to it. That's what you call an internment camp, that you put people who have not been judged under whatever legal system you have, even an unfair one or whatever, to be incarcerated. That's called a concentration camp. And none of them has been indicted in any way. And you imagine it's not too hard to indict somebody in a military tribunal in Guantanamo. It's not like they have all the possible defense in the world, because there's no case.
But of course, this is not only...
the military knows that. They're not lying.
This is not only Muslims either. As Ishmael Reed pointed out in Counterpunch, we do this to black and brown people who are branded as criminals. Their birthright and their protection under the Constitution is removed. So, for example, Ishmael Reed points out that in Chicago and, liberal San Francisco, California, they actually torture black juvenile kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact, right? They torture, 14, 15, 16, and 17-year-old children in prison. In fact, one of the,
but that's the prison system.
Right. Hmm? Still, right?
It's the prison system. The, politicians and the local authorities have to be blamed for that, but it's not a random thing that it's being done in San Francisco.
No, but torture, I understand, but torture, right, is, you know, you talk about the Constitution protects citizens from cruel and unusual punishment. Right. And if you have torture going on in the prisons by the local authorities and the guards and the higher ups, then you have an issue. In fact, one of the guards, convicted in the Abu Ghraib scandal, actually made the point and stated that the cruel and unusual punishment was learned right here in Florida. He picked that up as a prison guard in Florida.
And I recognize some of the methods, because I remember back in the old country that too, ways you can torture people without leaving marks. So when the Red Cross, like shaking people, things like that, it doesn't seem horrible. You know, like solitary confinement. It doesn't seem horrible to most of us because we like to have a bit of peace and quiet, you know. but there's a reason why it's considered torture, and that a large swath, like close to half of our prisoners are being in this condition, and it messes with your mind in very painful ways.
Right. So, yeah. So, I mean, look, what I wanted to say was that the birthright issue, you know, we can make fun of Republicans for, being racist and questioning the birthright of people like, say, Obama, and so on. But, I mean, the Democrats, with the expansion of the prison system, with things like, you know, the removal of habeas corpus, right, killing American citizens without due process, killing American children without due process, torturing American children in the prison systems, they are actually, and this is a point that I wanted to make about the elections, they're actually further ahead to the right in some respects than their Republican counterparts.
That's a valid point.
Because with the branding of American citizens as criminals, you can actually remove things like birthright and equal protection under the law, and you can dismantle these things.
I think you're getting into a topic that's like we could make another show about it, right? Because a lot of the issue, right, is not branding anymore, because you're technically saying branding citizens as criminals, right? But a lot of times what happens is because they're not citizens, they are criminals.
Right.
So it's a really tricky issue, right? They say it's a double moral standard. Hey, if you are brown and from the Middle East, it's super easy to get you to Guantanamo to spend some time there, right? However, if you are an American citizen, you can take a national park in Oregon type of deal, and you'll be fine. Nothing will happen to you.
Oh, well, right? But then you have to be like really, you know, you're pretty white too.
That's my point. I'm just talking about the Oregon case.
We don't have to imagine, and things are worse today than they ever have been. But back in the day, there were times when brown people did similar things, like whether they be indigenous or African Americans, and you know what happened to them. They would just, you know, mowed down,
game over. Yeah,
we still have Puerto Ricans in federal jail.
Puerto Rico, we need a whole show on Puerto Rico.
50 years ago.
Yeah, the point that I was making was that, you know, like, you're absolutely right. You know, like, if you're a non-citizen, you're automatically a criminal, but the reverse is true. If you're a citizen of this country and you are a criminal, that citizenship or that privilege is removed.
It's something to discuss, I think, and continue. Listen, we're like probably somebody is supposed to walk in any second now to transmit the game. So in case that happens, let's like make sure we're ready to evacuate in a timely manner.
Yeah,
the
premises, exactly.
Right? So I wanted to say, yeah, this is a good an important topic. I also think that even pragmatically, politically, it's a good one, because this should be a topic that that is for everybody but the tools. And I have this belief, this number in my head that I just pulled out of you know where. So it's, you know, 80% of Americans are not tools. I don't know, you know, call me naive.
Yeah.
At least. Okay, I think so. So rallying around the constitutional rights of citizens being eroded sounds like a kind of a libertarian argument, and good for them to make it. And I'm actually concerned with the visceral kind of defense that many, not you, Jay, definitely keeping us honest here, but liberals, whatever, certainly people who believe in the Democratic Party, so often kind of like to think that they're not part of it, or that this is a right-wing thing. Anyway, this is a rallying call, I think, that Americans could actually unite around, that let's look at this constitution of ours. Let's fix what needs fixing. Most of it pretty as good as it is, frankly, if properly interpreted and not violated like that. We don't really have to do much to it. Maybe just revive it a little bit, frankly. So I think that's an important call. Finally, I'm going to do something very punkonomics. You know, I got a text from Charlotte, and Charlotte, she says, hey, you want to take, at least, I mean, this Wednesday, they have actually some big conflicts. Do we want to like, I say, yeah, let's do it. You know, if you guys can make it, whoever can you make it, Jesse? Because without you, we're lost, you know?
Yeah, I can make it.
So it looks like, okay, so let's do this. Let's say that Wednesday, 2 to 4, we are, isn't it? Yes, it is.
2 to 4.
That's back to our original time, at least this week. Remember, I opened by asking people to tell us what their preferences are. But so let's do it a couple of days from now, Wednesday, a little bit more. Now I'm talking American, so a couple is five in this case. It's cool.
All right.
So we'll do Wednesday. Wouldn't that be cool?
Sounds good. Well, you've been listening to WPRK, Winter Park, Florida, the best in basement radio. This is Punkonomics with Dr. Benjamin Balick.
And the views and opinions, dude.
Yeah, the views and opinion are totally ours. Not of those working here.
Responsible anybody for working Rollins here? College.
No. Or you know, people working at Rollins College. Those are the ones I went up to.
Staff of WPRK,
I don't see any staff
No
here.
Staff
right.
Today?
No.
Oh,
cool.
Because I know some people appreciate our candidness. We have really touching compliments, you know, people who disagree with what we just said, yet still thought there was a lady who I'm guessing, I'm sorry, you know, that she was not a spring chicken, shall we say, who told us that we were sensible after like a whole, one of those, like when we really go off the rocker for like 20 minutes.
We sound sensible. Huh?
And I gotta say, seriously, that was kind of really touching to me somehow. No, it really got me there. And others too, so yeah.
She didn't have a kind of sarcasm behind that?
No, I don't think so. I think she totally got it, you know? And that was like, you know, it feels good when somebody totally gets you, you know?
Yep,
it's a very,
absolutely.
Very satisfying thing.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to do the usual blah, 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 PSA, public service announcements. And
yeah. And if hopefully somebody will be back. We'll see.